you know you could enter to win a micro one-room makeover, including lighting and accessories from Southern Lights, painting by 360 Painting Minneapolis, furniture from Putnam Farmhouse, flooring from Great Floors Minnesota, and blinds and interior design service from Interior Impressions? Do that on the app. And while you're on the app, you can listen to these two do their show each and every weekday. And each show, each day is different. Like, did you know Tuesdays at 5:30 we have Study of Duh? But on Monday, if you tune in at 5:30, you'd hear Sex Monday. And then later in the week, it's a Vintage Scandal.
There you go.
And they're all different. They're never, ever similar.
No.
I can't even think of a show that's ever been the same.
Really? You use different words every day.
It's amazing. And we say a different date.
Didn't I say back up the trail when last week or a couple weeks ago?
I've been writing down a lot of promo highlights today.
You did,
Let's see, I wrote down Sex Doll at 3:09.
Oh, please.
The Machine at 4:25. Yep. And that Compression Garments at 4:55. Those are all funny.
Yeah, I know.
We have some funny moments.
Yeah.
Julia calling Barnes & Noble a local bookstore was a good moment,
No, but you don't understand. Okay. They changed management about a year and a half ago, and they have a different strategy now. And I know it sounds stupid, but we got a whole letter from them. Don't you remember that when I was telling you about that last year?
No.
All right.
I don't, Julia. But right. I mean, you know, it's
not Jeff Bezos, it's not Amazon. And they
still do good
things in our community, and they've got great bookstores.
Heard from somebody who had a great idea for traveling.
Oh, this is a great idea.
She finds an independent bookstore wherever she goes, and then she buys a book from there, and then she writes where she was and bought it, you know, and that's
it's a travelogue
kind of a travelogue, and it's always fun to go to a little independent bookstore. Mm-hmm. So we did that during our 3 o'clock hour, but now
that's a great
we're going to turn our attention to movie theaters because I can't wait till they do a story on bars because that could be done for days. We're missing
our
music.
We're so ready.
But Will Reeve, Casey looks at me this morning, Will Reeve, he goes, is that Christopher Reeve's son? I said, yes, it is.
Once you make
that connection,
yep.
And he works for GMA. And
he's traveling his butt off. They fly him everywhere. He's darling.
I really like him. I really, really like him, and I like his reporting. But over the weekend, you know, the news about Godzilla versus Kong, it was like huge box office.
It was huge good news for movie makers.
At the box office. So here's Will Reeves with the report.
Morning, Amy. Godzilla versus Kong, literally and figuratively, is a monster movie. It's $50 million opening weekend at the box office here, by far the biggest of this pandemic era. A big question, though, is that because of the movie itself or because we feel better about going to movies ourselves?
Kong bows to no one.
This morning, Godzilla versus Kong, a knockout at the box office. The newest installment in the Warner Brothers MonsterVerse, grossing nearly $50 million in the U.S. over Easter weekend and $285 million worldwide.
And they're the last ones standing.
The film, which was released simultaneously in theaters and in homes around the world on HBO Max, exceeding expectations at the pandemic-weary box office.
People really wanted to go back to the movie theaters. And of course, Godzilla versus Kong, those special effects, you want to see that on the big screen.
Just over a year ago, the pandemic shutting the doors on movie theaters globally, forcing audiences to their couches. These new box office numbers, a hopeful sign of things to come for movie theaters.
We have unfinished business.
A welcome sign as this summer's blockbusters prepare for release, like Marvel's Black Widow.
We have to go back to where it all started.
And Warner Brothers' Space Jam, A New Legacy.
I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
Both set to release simultaneously in theaters and on a streaming service. The big weekend resulting in a 15% bump to AMC's stock, a promising sign to many in the movie industry. And the fans happy to be back, even if the experience is a little different in the pandemic.
The whole atmosphere, the whole feel of being at the movies, I don't think you can beat that.
California and New York are crucial to the film industry, and both states have been easing their theater capacity restrictions. Here in New York, we're at 25% capacity in the city, but theater operators are urging local officials to bump that number up to 50%. That's what it is in Los Angeles as of yesterday. Lots of action in Godzilla vs. Kong and in movie theaters these days, guys.
And I think that's what it is here, like at 50%. I would have loved to have seen this at movie theater, Godzilla. Yeah. Even though, like I said yesterday, the movie makes absolutely no sense, but I'm so happy it reignited the box office. And, I mean, did Rocco like it, though?
Yeah, Bruno.
I mean,
we enjoyed it. I mean, there was, those fight scenes were pretty cool.
Amazing. And you didn't have to have seen, like, I saw Skull Island, but I didn't see Godzilla King of the Monsters. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it was a mess, but I think a ridiculous action movie cannot be underestimated. Like, I loved The Meg.
I know you did.
That was a fun disaster, you know, about the big, huge shark. Or like...
I didn't watch that.
Independence Day,
oh, well,
you know.
Of course.
The Resurgent. I mean, there's just, I don't know. The only person I really, like, I did feel bad for when I was watching the movie... I did feel slightly bad for Alexander Skarsgård because I really had hopes that he was going to have like this huge career after True Blood. It's like Taylor Kinney.
Right. Right. He's
Taylor
in Chicago.
Kitch, I mean.
Taylor Kitsch.
But he was very funny on Kimmel when he said, hey, you know, hold my banana. I got to grab this lizard.
Right.
You know? He came up with that. So the fact that people are paying to see something they can get with an HBO subscription to the tune of $50 million is good. And there are people I know that saw it at drive-ins.
Oh, right. Oh, Valley Eye was open.
Mm-hmm. He's got a movie coming out. He's got
Alexander?
Another one. Yeah. Northman. So don't worry.
And did you find it weird he had the beard in the beginning and then he didn't? I thought he was much more handsome with the beard.
I didn't even notice.
Like, yeah, when she first finds him. In his lab, he was kind of beardy.
Wow, Rocco.
I don't know. I was like, hey, who's that handsome guy?
You threatened to have a haircut this weekend.
My haircut lady canceled like twice.
Oh, she did?
I know.
Because Rocco was saying on Friday he was going to like be a whole new man.
I know. I'm trying, but I'll get a hold of him.
Right. Okay, so Alexander Skarsgård's new movie that is in post-production. Mm-hmm. It's about set in Iceland at the turn of the good old 10th century.
Oh, that one.
A Nordic prince sets out on a mission of revenge after his father's murdered. But listen to who's in it. Anna Taylor-Joy.
From Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. William Dafoe. Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. And him.
Oh.
And he plays Amaleth.
Okay.
Amaleth, we are here for you.
And good for AMC. Their stock up 15%.
Yes.
And I know I saw Highland in the Highland Theater is showing, I forget what they're showing, if it's Raya, but I want to see Quiet Place 2 in a theater.
Well, right.
That was the movie, Lori, right? Last March. It was coming out the third weekend or something in March. And they, Universal or whoever is putting out a Quiet Place. Did you see the first one, Rocco?
Quiet Place? No.
You didn't? Quiet Place?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, that's let me just tell
you. Right?
But Rocco,
oh,
it's
that's,
not scary.
It's a thriller. It's psychological. Okay. I even made it through that one.
Yeah, it's not
it's
like,
a good date movie.
It's not a psych. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. It is the world. The pandemic is these monsters that if they hear you, they'll kill you and eat you.
But you never see them, really.
You don't see them, so you have to live in this quiet world.
So you just have to live.
So that one feels like a zombie movie mm-hmm. in that way. It's not the same as
I just want to know, last night, did you walk around without your shirt on and fix things around the house per your instructions to be more manly?
That didn't work out for me,
Yeah.
Well, I laid on the couch and watched basketball.
Yeah. And that's no way to get laid, Rocco.
Yes, I know.
They've got a new... I know this is crazy, but I'm on AMC's website.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of dying to sit in a movie theater and eat buttered popcorn and drink a Coca-Cola,
yes,
you know, and just
Julia,
go for
and
it.
And see trailers.
Yes, and see trailers.
I love trailers, and you can talk through trailers.
Oh, gosh, Lori and I had this fight because Lori talks through trailers, and I always thought you have to be quiet. Okay, so they have on these pretzel bites, this new treat. Like, I love a pretzel with tons of salt and mustard at the ball game or something.
Right.
But they've got those, but they've also got another one, like an everything bagel pretzel bite dusted with cheeses and stuff. Doesn't that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently we're hungry. We had a barbecue here at work today.
Yes, we did.
We're still hungry.
Well, my hamburger wasn't done.
Lori has to have
Yeah, I want a burnt.
She wants a burnt burger.
I want a burnt
burger. They didn't make it to order for her today. Damn it. Damn it anyway.
The SAG Awards cooked up about a million viewers across all platforms on Sunday night. So it's not a lot, but it was a short story. And, you know, it was the entertainment value was small because it was only an hour long show. So, and when it was repeated again, it was a million. What does it mean for the Oscars? Nothing. SAG was all Zoom. It was very much for the trade inside baseball.
Yep.
And the Academy Awards are big entertainment, but few people have seen this year's movies. And the Oscars, Roger Friedman is predicting, will be lucky if they get 10 million viewers. And it doesn't diminish the movies this year or the people who made that. It was just a weird, weird movie year
but it does it because so many of the movies that were intended to be blockbusters are still held back.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and he, Roger Freeman, said, P.S., the opening sketch with Ted Lasso didn't help bring in eyes. It was an off-putter of every kind. Note to Oscars, the opening has to pull people in, not drive them away. Don't make it obscure. Please don't make Tenant jokes at the top of the show. Everyone will leave. And I did kind of think that about the Ted. I'm like, why didn't that? That's like such a
narrow reach because it's in the streaming service.
And it's Apple
Plus.
Well,
they may not have had a deal.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, like that did strike me that was the opening. I was just like, oh my, I'm so sick of this guy. And I know the show.
And you know the show, and you don't like it.
No, I watched the whole season. That was a show I binged, and it was too much goodness to binge at once.
Oh, I love that. Now, there's a quote.
Because he's sugary sweet.
Yeah, I know.
Rocco, don't you think? Sugary sweet, but funny.
Sugary sweet, but funny sounds right.
Yeah. And it just was too much. It was like eating a whole Kringle.
Well, let's come back and get some dirt.
All right, let's get
the dirt alert right after this.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly, just thank you again for posting the Milo coming out of the gym, even though I know that this is us publicists called the paparazzi and let him know that Milo would be coming out.
You're so funny.
Oh, no, those thighs are everything.
You know what? That's fine if the publicist called people.com and the paparazzo service, because there is a muscular separation of the upper thigh above the knee that must be witnessed with your own eyes.
Listen to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, when in a drought, you just accept the rain.
That's right.
And the rain is in the form of Milo Ventimiglia's thighs. MyTalk1071.com on the Lori and Julia show page. Let's talk about the first production from Archwell Productions. That would be Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's first project with Netflix. It has been announced today, and it's going to be a docuseries about the Invictus Games.
Oh, I like it.
So if you don't know, the Invictus Games is a Paralympic-style competition for wounded service personnel and veterans. It was founded by Prince Harry back in 2014. This project is called Heart of Invictus, and it's going to follow athletes as they prepare for the Invictus Games that are going to be happening in The Hague, Netherlands next year.
Okay, and if you remember, Morgan Freeman played Nelson Mandela in a Clint Eastwood movie called Invictus.
Yes, and I remember seeing that movie.
Yeah, because these are guys that were in the military that suffered some kind of an injury, life-changing injury that happened when they were in the service, right?
That's right. So what they're saying in a statement, Prince Harry is saying this, that since the very first Invictus Games back in 2014, we knew that each competitor would contribute in their own exceptional way to the mosaic of resilience, determination, and resolve, and that this series, which is being called Heart of Invictus, will give communities around the world a window into the moving and uplifting stories of these competitors on their path to the Netherlands next year.
So will we join them as they train and hear their stories and...
Yes.
I love this about Harry. I love that he started the Invictus Games. It's basically like, if you will, like Olympics for people who are paraplegics and quadriplegics.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows what other kinds of injuries.
Right.
Yeah, this promises to be pretty riveting television, and Prince Harry is going to appear on camera in the docuseries.
I like that. How will the British papers make this be terrible? Oh, how geez. Is this bringing the world down?
Somehow, someway.
We'll look tomorrow. I'm sure they're going to figure out a million ways why this is just absolutely undignified and horrible of Harry.
Yeah, you know, the Daily Mail is going to have some kind of bottom feeder headline about this project. But you know what? It sounds like it will be very compelling television, and it's going to give an opportunity for these athletes to share their story with a global audience.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, you know, I it will be probably very, very moving. Let's talk about this report in The Hollywood Reporter. This is coming to us courtesy of actor Ray Fisher, who was a star of the Justice League, and he's talking at length for the first time about his various allegations against director Joss Whedon and Warner Brothers executives and concerning their conduct on the movie Justice League. So he's talking about all sorts of things. And one of the things that he's talking about is Joss Whedon and Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, and how they had a strained relationship while working on Justice League.
This doesn't surprise me at all. I feel like his name is always associated
with bad stuff.
Well, a lot of the women that he's worked with have come forward and just say how difficult he was to work with. And I think Ray Fisher has said this, too. And he got replaced on the movie, Joss.
Yes, yes, he did, by Zack Snyder. That's why we had that 36-hour Justice League cut that's on HBO Max right now. He came in and he rearranged the kitchen, so to speak. But apparently, according to this Hollywood Reporter article, an unnamed source says Gal Gadot had concerns with the revised version of Justice League, including issues about her character being more aggressive than her character was in the movie Wonder Woman.
Right.
She wanted to make the character flow from one movie to the next.
Yes, of course.
Which makes sense.
Exactly. Now, another unnamed source says that the biggest clash between Joss Whedon and Gal Gadot was when Joss Whedon allegedly made Gal Gadot record lines she didn't like and threatened to harm her career if she didn't comply.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Also, Joss Whedon apparently had some not so nice words about Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins. So this is so not.
Is
so
he
good.
Just like a verbally abusive person, too?
He sounds like a jerk.
Yeah, he really does.
You know, according to the source, Joss Whedon told Gal Gadot that the writer, that she's going to shut up and say the lines and he can make her look incredibly stupid in this movie. Mm. Another source says that Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins went to battle against Joss Whedon and met with the chairman of Warner at the time, Kevin Tsujihara, who eventually left Warner Brothers because he was had an affair with that woman. You remember? With the same one that Ron Meyer...
Yes.
At Universal had to leave because that's this guy. And they had a meeting about ongoing issues. It just sounds like a toxic mess.
He's a big bully because Jason Momoa and I think Jeremy Irons both said he was difficult with them to work with.
Yeah, why does he keep...
Because some people get off on being a-holes and bullies. That's just a fact. And it's not against...
The law to be a bully.
To be that way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not against company standards or anything like that.
But they did get rid of him.
Yep, they did. They did. And now you can watch Justice League on HBO Max right now.
Like the new one? Or is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's like 10 hours long. And it's called the Snyder Cut.
Because he was replaced because his daughter took her life.
All right.
So this is like, he had like 4.5 hours of footage and he edited his own cut.
Got it.
Yeah. Cannot speak to whether or not it's good or bad, but the people who are going to like it are going to like it, and the people who aren't going to watch it aren't going to watch it. So there you go. Guys, we got to get the tiny violin out for Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
Because he's not considered a serious actor because of his muscles.
We talked about
that. Did you guys talk about this?
Holly, you know difficult it is to be taken seriously in Hollywood when you're really, really, really good looking.
Well, Chris Hemsworth has spent hours a day in the gym over the last decade working on his physique to play Thor in the Marvel movies, and he said, you know, I've put in some serious time and effort to looking like Thor, but that it's not fully appreciated. Bodybuilders are seen as vanity, whereas if I put on a bunch of unhealthy weight or got unhealthy skinny for a role, I'd probably be called a serious actor.
You can go ahead and do that, Chris.
That's what we said.
You can do that.
Get your agent to get you a different job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, and to his point, do you guys think that Chris Hemsworth would do physical transformations in the opposite director after having chiseled his muscles for a decade to play Thor?
I don't know, but it's not our fault, the movie going fault, that you got typecast for Thor. That's up to your agent to try and 100%. Get you other roles. We cannot feel bad for your insanely hot, handsome self.
We can't. And that you live in Australia, you have a lovely wife.
Yeah, more
and
than
family,
that, he moved to Australia. Yeah.
And you have a house that literally looks like a shopping mall, Chris.
It does.
Hemsworth.
Right. But he left Hollywood.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Mm-hmm. Also, he has a personal training app where you can get Chris Hemsworth adjacent workouts.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah. We just can't feel for you.
It can't. It just feels so weird. It does.
Yeah. Oh, boo-hoo. You're hot and handsome.
Then we will put our tiny violin away for Chris Hemsworth.
I'm going to go back and cleanse my mind with Milo Ventimiglia right now.
She can't stop looking at the picture you posted on our show
page.
We
even played short shorts for him today. Yeah. He's got short shorts.
We love the new trend of men in short shorts.
Yes!
We're going to keep that going. All right, Holly, what is happening in the traffic world out there?
This a little that. We're going to start 61 northbound in Forest Lake. Got a crash by Lake Street and 8th Avenue Southeast.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer Lori.
Everybody knows. Everyone knows that duh.
Okay, what do we already know, but you're going to tell us we need to know again?
Well, Julia, this is just really, I'm glad that somebody studied one night stands, because there are just simply, you know, people, here's the main thing.
Okay.
People will say, I really regret doing a one night stand.
They do?
You're going to do it again, right? Now researchers say, yep, you're either a one-night stand person or you're not. And regretting it isn't going to change it if you are a one-night stand person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like you go through a phase maybe in your life where you're that person.
No, but you're either a one-night stand
either
person.
Either you did it, like, or you didn't.
I was a complete one-night stand person.
Were.
Yeah, absolutely. I could bounce around in college like nobody's business and didn't regret it. You know? The
one night stand
I regretted was maybe the skateboard dude I picked up at First Avenue when I was babysitting your house.
I remember that.
And he was
I
was like, are you legal drinking age?
I remember very
but
well.
But anyway, this is a good story.
And she told me years later.
But you're either a one night stand person or you're not. And this is a study out of Norway. And they found that regretting one night stand, it doesn't really stop women or men from having more one-night stands in the future, even if you did have one where you did really, truly regret.
Right.
Which, let's face it, if you are a one-night stand person, you've got regrets. Of that, there is no doubt.
Yes. Right.
You know?
Right.
Just because beer goggles?
Those.
One.
Yes, sure, of course.
Two. Jägermeister goggles?
Right.
Three. Wine goggles, whatever it might be, okay? The orgasmic boozy haze of a one-night stand doesn't mean you're not going to have regrets. But people, you think, oh, I'll never do this again. But if you're a one-night stand person, au contraire, you will. You'll try it a few weeks later. And so researchers said this can apply to other things in your life. Besides one-night stands.
Like what? Show me. I'd like to know
surprised.
The correlation between one-night stands and what else.
We're not that surprised. If regret helped, wouldn't most sinners eventually become saints?
Sure. Right.
So, is there anything you can do to stop yourself from doing things you'll regret? Not according to these scientists. They say when it comes down to it, it's your personality. And if you're in the mood, you'll do the same thing again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So just, you know.
Just own it, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
If that's who you are.
Right. And people are that.
Right.
Like, there are people that, like, they've never had one. They've never had a one-night stand.
Right.
You know? I was surprised when I met some of those people. I was didn't know that was possible. I'm like, really? Didn't you ever travel for work?
You're so funny.
You never went out of town?
My eyes were crossed. Yeah. Who are these people? Where right. do they, what lives did they live?
Oh, man.
Oh,
and
funny.
Really, the one, and it wasn't a one-night stand, now that I think about it. It was a three-day weekend.
There you go.
I regretted that weekend.
I'm trying
with
to,
the skateboarder?
That, the skateboarder,
no.
he was
oh. No, that was a one-night.
No, this is at my first house, right?
Yes.
On Colfax, yeah. 58th, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Uh-huh.
I introduced him to Al Green.
Wow.
Did I have a CD on my CD player? No, Lori, it's so
he's
funny.
Like, who is this? I'm like, oh, great. Okay, moving on to another study. This is a study of I think. Your drink order reveals a lot about your personality. Well, no kidding,
right?
Sherlock. So the next time you get a chance to order whatever it is that you drink in public, don't worry about what the bartender might think. According to a new study, people who prefer the fruitier drinks or the frou-frou drinks, people just automatically know you're more fun. And you think you're more fun.
Really? If you want like a...
Yeah.
Brandy Alexander?
Like a pina colada or something?
Yes, or I want a margarita.
Okay.
Or I want, you know, some kind of... A sidecar or Cosmopolitan, or you know, you want
like
something.
Is a Manhattan, would that be considered a fruitier drink?
I wouldn't. Well, the maraschino cherries, absolutely.
All right, but what are the other options besides a fruity drink?
Okay, well, people were given, so they did this study and they gave people a choice of how to describe themselves as a drinker.
Okay.
Fruity, that they want more like, sweet. They like the sweet drinks.
Okay.
They like neutral. They also give you neutral flavors, so like a vodka,
right,
or
vodka
something
soda.
Like that.
Yep.
Anyway, so the top five mixed drinks is what they... Margarita is number one. Vodka soda is number two. Rum and Coke. Three, whiskey bourbon or whiskey Coke. And gin and tonic.
Yep.
Those, and people who like light-colored alcohol are more likely to describe themselves as introverted.
Well, that
and relaxed.
Doesn't roll for us because we both like the light, but yeah. I like the dark too.
Dark alcohol drinkers are more likely to identify as logical and driven. So they were getting people to identify, you know, characteristics like if you like
right.
beer or you like this. And they were looking at wine. Basically, what does your go-to drink say about you? I say it says absolutely nothing.
I would agree because we are introverted.
Right.
And that's our go-to drink of vodka, Tito's and soda or something.
And I'm glad to see this. 85% of people said the bartender's opinion of their order has absolutely no effect on what they're going to order.
Wow.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Well, you want to get what you want to, but I think
and more people don't care what their friends have to say about what their drink order is.
Why mm-hmm. would you?
Good.
I read something that you're 27 years old when you finally figure out kind of what you like
to drink.
Yeah, because you do a lot of experimenting and a lot of whatever's on sale.
Right.
You know, whatever the special is. And
like
then
you've maybe pinpointed
you've kind
more
of,
what you like.
Right.
Yeah, I would believe that. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another study of for you people. Glorious gluttony. Americans, when it comes to food, forget the cheat day. Now with the pandemic, it's the cheat weekend. A new study found 2/3 of Americans said their weekend meals are their reward for getting through another work week.
Wow.
And even 68% of people look forward to what they're going to eat on the weekend due to their stressful week.
I can see that.
I totally believe that. Well, I have to say, you know, I had key lime pie left over from Easter. It had to go down the disposal today.
You did? That is
mine went down the disposal today. I should have brought
it
in, and I thought, why didn't I bring it in for you? Because I needed it out of my house because it turned into all I was eating.
Okay.
And I had it for breakfast this morning, and I had such a tummy ache, and I thought, you know, it's got to go.
Wow, key lime pie breakfast.
Don't ever.
I don't deny myself when I want to eat something. I eat it whatever time of the day.
Yeah.
It feels... Right. No, I know.
You've got the best fed disposal west of the Mississippi. Or east of the Mississippi.
I just wanted key lime pie. Mm-hmm. But it's so rich. You can only eat like 3 bites of it. So I'll just take 3 bites. I mean, that was my breakfast, but still.
Yeah, 44% of Americans said they eat better stuff on the weekends than they do during the weekdays.
Is there more time?
And more than half of Americans believe eating can act as a form of therapy. Because people feel too tired sometimes at the end of the workday and they don't want to cook because they can't decide what to eat or they don't want to do dishes. So on the weekend, it is...
It's more of a joy.
You take more joy
in it. Yeah.
That doesn't
I would like someone to cook for me tonight.
Would you?
I really would, in case anyone... You can email me if you want to play tennis with me and if you want to cook for me. Or maybe we'll just say, or do you want to date me? Because I'm taking emails today.
So even though more Americans are working from home, it doesn't mean you have the time to
cook,
to make an elaborate meal for lunch and then look for something for dinner. And also because the blurry line for people that are working a lot, mostly at home, the line between work and
it all feels like work.
And today in the Star Tribune, they had a story about how people miss their commute. They miss driving because it
separates your work life from your personal life.
And it gives you a chance to decompress.
Decompress before you get home. And I remember after leaving work and I'd sit and think of everything like, okay, don't bring it home, leave it at work, you know, whatever you have to process. And if you're just always in the same space, I believe it.
Yeah.
So people used to listen to you guys a lot more on the
driving.
A lot of people have converted to streaming an app, you know.
Right. But the driving, I
drive more, I feel like, since the pandemic's happened. Because I just drive to tennis so far.
Yeah.
You know, around the cities. But I like it. I'm a driver, though.
Yeah.
Did you get anybody to email you to be your tennis partner?
Nope.
Not yet. We're still waiting through all the many responses.
I've joined the next door. I'm trying other things. Yeah. It's someone who has flexibilities in the morning.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we come back, Julia. I couldn't be happier that dermatologists are scolding this star.
Oh, all right.
It's Kelly Clarkson and her band, y'all, covering 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20 on yesterday's show. That was good, right?
Yes.
And your gal from, what the heck is the TV show that you liked? The Country Cutie?
Catherine McPhee.
They were talking about that country comfort.
Boy, her body is just bounced back. She just had a baby like a month ago or 6 weeks ago or something.
I don't know. I hate that baby bounce back.
I know. Maren Morris said something. She made a great comment because people are like, when are you getting your body back or something? She says, when people ask me that after, because she had a baby and she's short like me and there's not a lot of room for baby to go. It goes in your arms. It goes in your face.
What did she say about it?
She says, I didn't lose my body. I don't need to find it back. Right. We need a new term.
Yeah.
We need a new term. But she's been everywhere.
You can just say, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know my vagine bounced back nice and tight. Shut somebody up.
Can you imagine?
That would be hysterical as a comment. I don't know where it's gone, but how my vagine bounced back.
Right. It's perfect.
It's perfect. Okay, so remember last week when Gwyneth gave she did a Vogue.
73 questions.
Not
or
a 73 questions because you have to be a cover model to do that. But she did some kind of a goop. And I wouldn't even be surprised somewhere in there might have been buried that this was a paid ad. But she did this thing about her morning routines.
Yes, yes.
$900.
Yes. The smoothie, the salves, the lotions, the steaming, the eggs.
Yeah. So anyway, I was so bored watching it, I didn't pay full attention and maybe watch the whole thing. But apparently, if I had, we would have caught on to the fact that she made a specific mention of not to slather on sunscreen. But she likes to, and she demonstrated that she puts it on like a highlighter, a swipe across your nose, the top of your cheekbones and your forehead, like you would a highlighter where the sun hits you. And, a dermatologist who was asked by USA Today to view it, she said, using sunscreen as a spot treatment and saying just where the sun hits is a very dangerous message because skin cancer, you need to slather.
You do.
Yeah. So that is literally
have
not.
Have you ever seen people don't just get sun and stripes on their face? They get it all over. I saw a sunburned kid the other day and I'm like, yep, it's everywhere.
It is. I don't know who's more irresponsible. An esthetician on her Instagram story, she called that part of the SPF portion of Gwyneth's video horrifying. I don't know what's more irresponsible. Gwyneth Paltrow actually saying this or Vogue magazine giving her the platform.
Wow.
And she said that is how she does it every single day. But Goop did release a statement to USA Today saying she does apply sunscreen to her whole face, though the video is edited down for timing's sake and does not show the full application. But
that's just kind of a ridiculous editing part because everyone knows the number one thing against you're supposed to wear sunscreen and you put it everywhere.
But she specifically said, I don't slather myself from head to toe. I just put it on where the sun kisses me.
Well, she's an angel.
Yeah, I know.
She has special treatments for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
All right, Shailene Woodley is very excited about her man hosting Jeopardy tonight.
I know she is.
She's telling people.
I taped it today, so it was today. She thinks he's a very sexy man. Mm-hmm. Boy, these two are hot and heavy.
Julia.
It's cute.
Yeah.
I think it's cute. I'm curious to see how he does. I mean, Rocco, do you have any desire to see him host this?
Maybe. I'm curious because I don't feel like he's that charming or interesting.
Right.
But people are kind of saying he did a good job, so it'd be interesting to see it.
I didn't DVR it, and I'm not going to watch it.
But LeVar
Burton.
He got it full time for sure.
I don't think so. That was a petition or something.
People would like him to. He's hosted it. He's been one of the people like Katie Kirk hosted
it. Who's gone?
You were going to apply, but I forget what happened.
I forgot. You forgot to fill out my application because you didn't know where the machine was.
I called it the machine because I don't know that people listening to us know what our wire service.
It doesn't.
I just called it a machine to give it some interest.
I think it's a fine
name. It's the Enigma
name.
Machine that spits out
exactly
amazingly ridiculous, boring, random facts for all of us to use here and there on our shows on this.
Oh, that is so fantastic how you say that.
I think in the future when we think Julia's using the machine to get random thoughts, I'll play it the sound of a teletype machine.
I want to tell you you could see me, my middle finger is pointed at both of you, but I'm no longer allowed to use those words on the airwaves of this fine place. If we were a podcast, holy cow,
that's true.
Which we are a podcast, but we're a podcast that doesn't swear.
That's true because
you ever listen to a podcast, every other word is bleeping, 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 heimer, bleeping.
Well, it's not regulated by the FCC.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, I challenge you, people. I'm going to say that about what you start talking about stuff. Yeah. You're talking about that again. I know where you read it.
Well, that would be Rocco would have to have some time to talk about.
We're
something
willing for to give you any time. Anytime you want, Rocco. Well, tomorrow. Okay. It's Wednesday.
That's
right.
The hump of the hump. We'll do some trivia tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
That'll be fun.
It's my last night of bowling.
We'll see if I'm as charming as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Last night of bowling.
Do you guys have our playoffs over? Is like the last night of fun night?
Do you have a banquet or anything?
There's no rolling off for last place. We'll see how we did last week.
Okay.
And see if we did clench last place or if we got second to last.
All right.
But do the top teams play each other tonight? Or
they're rolling off tomorrow night.
Oh, I see.
And the rest of us are playing.
Will there
no
be
tap.
A banquet this year? Is no this banquet. The year of the wash? Okay.
No banquet, unfortunately. That's kind of, I felt very bad about it. I wanted to, you know, say, why couldn't we have it? But.
And you got through. I mean, there was no, you know, I mean, being inside bowling, that's kind of a risky thing. And there's no COVID problems. That's good.
Well, I mean, I kept my mask on and bowled, so that's how I dealt with it.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what anybody else is doing, but
this is me.
I'm covering my nose.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So
you're fine. Yeah. We're still here. And guess
we'll be
what?
Back tomorrow.
With or without a machine.
Job done. Off you go.